to continue prepping you for the next module where we're actually going to sit down and do the practice time. Like we are going to actually start working, because so many of you are, at this point, are like, Steven, seriously, we're like 2.5 modules into this thing and we're still not past the warm up. Well, you have to understand that I constructed this because the majority of what we needed to focus on was improving our focus, improving our practice time, our ability to stay plugged in all that time. And then module 4, I'm really looking forward to that, is we are going to actually start learning about assembly lines and these different techniques we can use within our practice time to create more efficient methods of practicing, okay? But we have to get this other stuff down. And this may seem like an odd topic to put in the warm-up section, but to me it's not. We're getting prepped for the next section, which is where we start doing the work. And if I saved all of that for one module, it would just be insane. So we're gonna talk about multitasking and task switching and the costs that are related to those. All right, so there has been a big fad to increase your ability to multitask. It's actually a new word. It's not that old of a word or a concept. It was borrowed from the kind of the business sector took it, and that you need to be multitasking, doing more things. They took it from the computer sector, and they used that to that term was used to talk about a computer and how it processed information. But really, it's not an accurate description of what's going on. And because of that misinterpretation, it's led us to misinterpret its meaning and then try to do things like against our natural abilities. We cannot do it. So first of all, I will just say, many of you know this, some of you don't. Multitasking is a myth. We cannot do it. We cannot multitask. So multitasking is relatively a new term. They used it to define what a computer was doing and its speed of processing. But really what is happening with a computer and what happens with us is it's doing something called task switching. So it's devoting its resources to one task and then switching to the other task and switching back and forth. It is not simultaneously doing those two things at once. It's just it does it at such a high rate of speed that it processes things so quickly that it looks like it's happening in real time. But what's actually happening is something called task switching. It's focusing its energies on one thing and then on another thing. Now, why is that important? Because that is what we as humans do. We cannot multitask if both of the activities require cognitive control. We've talked about cognitive control, right? The cognitive processes. We've talked about that. That's attention, that's goal management, that's working memory. Those are the three things that we deal with. So this has to do with goal management when we try to multitask. Now, we as humans have the ability to juggle several things and task switch to get a task done. That is something that we can do. But you need to understand that when we task switch, not multitask, task switching takes us from one thing and we switch to the other thing. For instance, you are practicing and then you switch to answer an email. That is switching a task. When you do these things, there is related with task switching and multitasking, there is something called costs. Task switching costs or multitasking costs. What are the costs that go with it, right? If you're gonna do this, it's gonna cost you some money, right? What kind of money? Well, it's gonna cost the currency that we need in our practice time, which is reduced accuracy. Now, the number one thing is reduced accuracy. The second thing is it's an increased task completion time. So you're gonna be less accurate and it's gonna take longer for you to do that, all right? Now that, to me, slows down our process. So anytime you're in your practice time, you need to eliminate the thought that I can multitask and do these two things, or I can task switch and answer an email, or I can talk to my daughter, and then you can't do these things. And if you decide to do them, just understand that there is a cost associated with them. Always remember, if two tasks require cognitive control, and otherwise we have to think about them, use working memory, have our attention, exercise goal management. If they require those things, you cannot do them simultaneously. You have to task switch, okay? Now, let me give you a test, because some of you are like, Steven, I'm multitasking right now. I'm playing on my iPhone, and I'm surfing the internet, and I'm listening to you. And then you're rewinding it to see what I just said. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little test. This is a real quick test. First of all, I want you to say your ABCs. So it's going to just go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, right? All the way to the end. Then I want you to count to 10. I've done this test in another video here. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? We can do both of those things. Those are almost automated processes because I know them so well. Now, try to do them both together, but count in the following way. A1, B2, C3, D4. Now go. How well are you doing? What happened? There was a reduction in accuracy, and it's increased task completion time. So it takes you longer to get to the end of the ABCs than it would have if you just went A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, J, K. I can get there real quick, whereas the other one, I'm like A1, B2, C3, D4, A, B, C, D, E, E5? Is E5? Yeah. So there I'm like questioning and I'm just stumbling and making all kinds of mistakes. And that's just a simple, quick test. There's a ton of tests that I can do that let you, that will just blaringly show you how well we do not multitask. We just can't do it. Can't do it. So the interesting thing that they have found is, and that's the reason why I harp so much on focus in this course, is because researchers are finding that, especially the younger generation, and by younger, I would say anybody my age or older. I don't consider myself young. I'm just, you know, okay, 30. Let's say 30. That's a little bit younger than me. 30 and below, they're losing the ability to single task. Now, what does that mean? You're like, Stephen, I can single task. I sit down and watch TV every night. Yeah, but how often do you check your phone? How often are you reading something while you're doing that? How often do you stand at line at your local barista parlor and you're, you know, standing there and you have to get on Facebook or you have to, like, we are losing the ability to just single task, to be alone with our thoughts. They're finding these, the studies are really just coming out over the past 20 or 30 years of what has been happening to our brains, especially with students and those types of things. And we're seeing the results of that in the music community as well. Whenever I'm speaking to college professors, university professors, high school teachers, private educators, we're seeing the results of this. And students are completely unable to concentrate. They've done tests where they told them, you have to concentrate for 10 minutes on this one thing. They were unable to hold their attention for more than 2 to 3 minutes on the same task before they had to task switch to something else. They also, for an hour, tracked several groups of people and their eye movements with how they were single tasking with their eye movements and the motions that happen. And they found that the younger generation, that's going to be 30 and below, they switched tasks every 2 minutes, 27 times in an hour. Now, being that we know there's a task switching cost, imagine how much extra time they're adding to whatever they're doing by doing that. Now, the older generation was a little bit better, but not much better. So don't pat yourself on the back. They found that they switched 17 times per hour. Okay, that's not much better. You're still switching every few minutes. So this is a big problem, and it's been brought about because of the internet, social media, and smartphones, essentially, smart devices, is what has begun to cause this. And those bottom-up influencers are beginning to influence us. And we've begun to, you've heard me talk about it in the other videos, self-interrupt. So we'll be sitting there at a task, and our mind gets bored. And because we're really unable to deal with boredom these days, because we're so accustomed to having something in our face, like a screen that entertains us, we immediately, our mind cues us to self-interrupt and go, you should check your phone. You should go do this. Because we haven't worked on that muscle of attention. We haven't worked on that muscle of being able to deal with, you know, this task is not as exciting as some other tasks, but we have to do it. And that's what they're finding in students, is that they're unable to cope with that boredom, and their mind automatically triggers them to go do something else, to release that dopamine, that reward in your brain that gets released. So the whole reason I want to talk about this is to basically nail in your head, we don't multitask, right? That's me nailing that in your brain. We cannot multitask if the two tasks require cognitive control. In other words, attention, goal management, and working memory. Now, some of you are like, Stephen, I multitask all the time. Just earlier today, I was listening to music and walking and chewing gum. That is multitasking. But a couple of those tasks did not require cognitive control, because what your brain did is what we discussed in another video, and that is chunking. All right, your brain took a couple of those activities that it knew so well, muscle memory, and it chunked them in the background, and it's only focusing on one. So maybe you're walking and chewing gum, but you're actively listening to what's going on in that music. What happens if you trip? If you trip, usually headphones come out or you stop listening to music. you stop chewing your gum and you figure out what happened, right? You figure out how to get yourself back. If you're walking and you bite your tongue, what'll happen? You'll slow your walk, and then you'll stop listening to the music, and then you'll try to figure out, okay, what did I do chewing that hurt? So anytime it requires cognitive control, we can't do it. If you can automate it, like walking, as long as it's automated and you're only focusing on one, that's fine. But the minute another one needs to be focused on, the other one has to stop and go to the background. It's the only way our brains work. That prefrontal cortex can only keep one thing at a time in its working memory, in its attention span, and in its goal management system. So this helps us understand why I'm so adamant that you keep things like screens and cell phones on silent, keep them on airplane mode, keep them as much out of your practice time as you can, unplug completely, let people know that you're practicing, take away all the distractions, because the task switching costs that come with that are huge. Yes, you can definitely return an email on your break, but there's a cost that's associated with that. And that will be reduced performance and increased task completion time, okay? The reason why I encourage you to warm up is because it does a couple of things for you. And one of those is it helps reduce the task switching costs, because while you are warming up, there's gonna be that time, it's an increased time to completion. You have to allow time for the systems to switch. So while you're allowing that time, do something that you've already chunked in your mind. That warm-up that you know like the back of your hand. You can do it so well. So you start doing that, you start getting your focus, and at the same time, you're warming up your muscles. And by the time you're done with your warm-up, then you're ready to dive into the material. You're 100% focused. So I want you to put down in the comments and let me know, how hard has it been to eliminate the distractions in your practice time? How much trouble are you going through to eliminate task switching? Is this a big problem for you? It was a huge problem for me. It continues to be one of the biggest obstacles for my students as well. Put that down in the comment section and then jump over to the next video.